Welcome to episode 53.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, and finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That is what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. They specialize in new and previously owned small motorhomes from the major Class B manufacturers. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Well, hi, everybody. In this episode, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about a subject a little later on that many are considering right now, snowbirding, becoming a snowbird, leaving the cold of the north, spending the winter in warm climates. We're going to talk to a couple that became snowbirds for the first time last year, and they kept a record of everything, all of the cost, all of the challenges, all of the joys, and the awesome places they visited. We're going to hear from our friends Tim and Carol Mallon and learn about, well, what's involved in becoming an RV snowbird. Is this for you? Are you ready to try it? The Mallons will have some great advice. That's coming up a little bit later on. Also, we have lots of RV news this week, some tech tips, and a great destination for your RV travel bucket list that Jennifer and I just came back from just a couple of days ago. But speaking of her, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing today?
I am feeling pretty good. We've been home all of about 24 hours and off we go again.
Well, I got the laundry done, ironing. I'm ready to go.
Well, we are ready to go. I'm off actually to Kitchener, Ontario this week for a quick visit to the Road Trek factory and then home that night. And then we're hopefully going to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, the America's largest RV show, which is running this week. We'll talk about that later. But I say hopefully because
I'm scheduled for jury duty on Tuesday.
It's your civic duty.
That it is. I've served on a couple juries already.
And we were called for this one while we were out in Montana early this summer, and you had to postpone it, and we can't postpone it but once.
That's right. And I mean, there isn't a good time to postpone it too.
Yeah, I know. When you look at our schedule, we have been on the road since May.
I love it. You say, oh, Jen, it'll only be a day, maybe two. And I said, yeah. The first time I served jury duty, they said 1 week, and it was 2 weeks.
Well, you call tonight, and we'll find out whether you're going to be in jury duty. And if you're not, if you're stuck, I don't know.
I could put a wig on you, and maybe you could take my place.
No, I don't think so. No. I'm going to go to the RV show. So anyway, that's kind of up in the air. We'll see how it all works from that. But we would hope to do the podcast a couple of live reports. We'll tell you more about that through social media and on the blog, but all that is kind of dependent on whether you get called to sit on a jury or not. So we'll have to stay tuned for that part of it.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
But we're back in Michigan. We got back just a day or so ago, late Saturday night. We're recording this episode on Monday because I have to go to, as I said, to Ontario on Tuesday. And of course, Wednesday, our regular release date for this episode will be this Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. That's when this was released. For those of you who listen to this far into the future and wonder when we were talking about. But you had quite a trip coming home. You were driving.
I was driving and...
I was in the back trying to sleep.
And you had driven more than your fair share. I hadn't driven that much. But somebody pulled alongside me tooting the horn. And I looked at him and they're pointing. And, you know, I thought, oh, have I drifted into the other lane? Because I had been driving for 2.5 hours. And I thought, oh. And then I thought, no. It took me a little bit to realize that when you drift, we get little beep beeps, which I really like. I love that feature.
On that new Sprinter that we drive, yeah, it tells you when you drift into a lane.
And then as soon as I realized I was not drifting, horror of terrors, I thought, I must have a bad tire. And sure enough, I did.
Yeah, and so you pulled off. I was actually in the back sleeping, and I remember when it happened because, as you say, I levitated. You hit... it turned out to be a pothole, but it seemed to be a pothole that was across both lanes of I-75, south of northbound I-75 down in Kentucky.
I mean, in Michigan, we're used to potholes. In fact, when you buy your car, you get insurance for your rims.
But we didn't expect it in Kentucky. Anyway, you hit that thing, and I levitated. There was some loose concrete, apparently, because we were able to get off the freeway. And I took over driving because we were in the middle of nowhere. And so we looked at the GPS map and we could see Richmond, Kentucky wasn't far. So we made our way there. I found a repair center. I had 10 pounds of air left in that tire. And it turned out it had, they couldn't find the leak in the tire. And it turned out two places, the rim, the aluminum rim had cracked from that pothole. And so we have to get a new rim, and probably we'll dump that tire because it had to have done massive damage to the tire, you know, the cords on the tire, but being compressed like that.
Does this mean I don't get to drive anymore?
No, you get to drive.
When I realized I had that flat tire, I thought you had just finally gone back because you always think you have to sit there when I drive. And that was one time you probably should have been there when that person was tooting and pointing. And
well, you did the right thing, you know. So we figured it out. But it also, whatever, that loose concrete from that pothole popped up and it damaged the carrier. And the rear tire for our RV is mounted underneath the chassis. And it didn't hurt that tire, but there were a couple of bolts that the concrete bent. And so we had to get that taken off, and now we got to put a new one on. But, you know, it could have sure been worse. They told us that the tire would have blown if we had gotten much more past that 10 pounds. And then you would have really noticed that. That would have been hard to control the vehicle, particularly at freeway speed. So the guy did you a great favor. And that's an example to all of us. One, be alert for debris in the road and potholes. Wow. Try and avoid them.
When people toot and point.
Yeah. Or if you're driving and you see something that's wrong with the car in front of you, try and let them know because they may not know like Jennifer didn't.
Well, I was finding it out. It must have just happened because I was like, okay, I slowed down immediately and tried to get off. And then there was a truck in the lane and, you know.
This is one of our pet peeves as we've traveled over the past 4 years, over 100,000 miles now in our RV. And that is debris and bad roads, but particularly debris. And the thing that drives us nuts are these, they call them gators. G-A-T-O-Rs, like alligators, gators, because that's kind of what they look like. It's the treads of truck tires that blow and are just littering our freeways and our interstates. I did some research, because we had a story on the blog. I'll put a link to it in the show notes for this episode. But those blown tires and those gators and that road debris that these truck drivers leave behind have been linked to over 25,000 accidents a year and over 100 deaths every year because of this stuff. Blown tire pieces are the number one source of road debris, and this is a serious issue. In this case, it wasn't a blown tire because we saw plenty of those on these trips, and we were able to avoid them, but this was one of those unavoidable across-the-road potholes, so they can do big damage.
And I didn't expect that.
No, well,
but all the construction, anybody who's been out there on I-75.
If you drive I-75, which is the big north-south route from the Midwest down to the Florida Keys, almost I would say the whole state of Ohio has been and still is under construction on I-75. It seems like for years.
I don't think they ever get done.
I see people out there scurrying around, but it never seems to be done. The whole, almost from the Michigan border down to Cincinnati, the end of the state, it seems like the whole thing is under construction and has been for years. So you people in Ohio who have to drive 75, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, all right, so be careful out there. I guess that's our big thing that we want to warn you about. All right, you ready with your segment?
I certainly am.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Today's tip is one of the least expensive but handy accessories that we have in our RV. It's a pop-up trash bag. And we used to have a fancy, pretty stainless steel one with a foot pedal, and we picked it up at Bed Bath & Beyond, and we loved that one. It, you know, kept the lid on, and we liked it, but it doesn't work. It seems like every time you get a different vehicle, several things don't work that used to work. So this pop-up trash bag, it only costs $9 on Amazon. It's 13 inches high by 9.5 inches wide. It's made out of nylon, and it washes, it cleans really easy. And we keep it right behind the driver's seat. It sort of wedges itself between the seat and the refrigerator, and it is a perfect fit. There's a little bit of Velcro on the bottom, and it seems to help it stick to the carpet back there to keep it from moving around. And then I just use the little plastic grocery bags. I put those inside, and we use it all the time. And it's so easy, those little plastic grocery bags. I empty it. I like to empty it out. We buy gas or keep it empty as much as possible. So the trash bag collapsed down to just a couple of inches high for storage. But usually we just leave it up all the time. Again, there's a link to the trash bag that we use on the show notes for this episode. Just go to roadtrekking.com/53. Again, that's roadtrekking.com/53.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hello, Mike. Julian Caldwell from Council Bluffs, Iowa. Happy to report that we've made numerous camping weekends with the family and the extended family. At one point, we had, I think, 7 families and 14 dogs. So we had more dogs than people, which was hilarious. But had a great time all summer long and really enjoy listening to the podcast and hearing of adventures from everyone across the United States and even the world. Secondly, I was calling to see if you had heard anything about the Tesla Powerwall and whether that technology was going to be implemented in any of the RVs in the near future. And finally, my family has become actively involved in finding geocaches at every place we camp and visit. My in-laws, who are in their mid-70s, have absolutely flipped for it, and it becomes their first thing they ask when we arrive someplace is there a geocache somewhere we can find? I think so far they've found almost 20 this summer and in 4 different states. Been pretty excited and just to really enjoy the lifestyle and appreciate all that you and Jennifer do. Talk soon.
That sounds like so much fun. 7 families and 14 dogs. Boy, a couple summers ago when we went with our 2 of our grown kids and their families, and we had 3 dogs, and they were big dogs. They weren't little dogs.
No,
we're talking 120
dogs, yeah.
pounds and 90 pounds, and Ty was 70 pounds, and dogs added to the fun. I mean, I know you make some sacrifices, but the dogs really added to the excitement, and the dogs enjoy going to these places.
Yep, and Julian, traveling like that with family, that is so much fun. And that is, thanks for I can hear the excitement in your voice, and that's part of this lifestyle that is just so, you know, it's priceless. You know, you can't put a cost on it, you know, because it is just so great to be with family and friends and those dogs. Now, you ask a bunch of stuff. Let's talk about the Tesla Powerwall. The Tesla Powerwall, if you don't know what that is, Tesla is, of course, a big solar company, and they're talking about making a Tesla car and all that stuff. But Julian is talking about using solar power and their battery system. The Powerwall is really a home battery system, and it charges using electricity generated from solar panels It's a great deal when utility rates are pretty high. You can power your home with this in the evening and let it charge in the sun. So he's asking, what'll they do with RVs? Well, the systems are really much more advanced already for RVs. We're using one, and I'll put a link up on our show notes page. But I did a story not long ago on how essentially Jennifer and I are energy independent in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We have 650 watts of solar power. The whole top of our vehicle is solar power. And we have this massive lithium ion battery system that the solar helps top off. And then there's this generator, this proprietary generator system that Road Trek has that charges all of that. And the bottom line is that we already have this energy independence in our RV. We do not need to plug in. And that is so nice because we can stop anywhere and we have all the power we need for the microwave, for the air conditioner, whatever we need.
It is so easy to get used to being independent that way.
Yeah. And I think that's why we love to boondock so much, because now there's no place we can't go. And we're great for a couple of days.
And you can have healthy lunches. If you have time to prepare food, you don't have to stop at that fast food place or wherever. If you have the time to prepare breakfast, lunch, dinner, it's right there. You can warm up, have warm things, and have your refrigerator.
That's what's so nice about having enough of that power on there. Because fast food is toxic. It is not good for you. And we go on and on about this every time. And it's so nice to bring your own food and to be able to prepare it. And you can do that when you have, energy independence like that. So
I don't know if it's true or not. I heard once that when you eat a fast food meal, it takes a week to get all those chemicals and everything out of your body, what they put in the food.
Yeah, it is. Someday people are going to look back and they're going to just shake their heads at the way we eat. And that's a whole other topic. But the other thing you brought up, Julian, that I loved hearing about is geocaching. We talked about that on the blog. I did a story on it about what a great hobby geocaching is for RVers. And if you don't know what geocaching is, you can call it treasure hunting. But geocaching is a fun way. A lot of RVers are exploring new places. And when I say treasure hunting, we're not talking about, things with value. They're really trinkets kind of, but they're bragging rights. There may be a little souvenir you find in a small container someplace. You get clues and you use GPS and you find it. But and there's usually a log book that's involved. People love this. You write down the date you find it and you sign your little name, your code name that you get. We put a link to some apps that anybody can do this. It's really a lot of fun and they're all over. And it was great to hear that. So you can find that all on the show notes for this episode. The link to the geocaching, the link to the story about us being energy independence, all that is at roadtrekking.com/53. 53 is the episode that this is. All right, let's see. A question comes in from Colorado, and Claire.
This is Claire Turner calling, and I'm calling from Idaho. Someone vandalized my van last night. I have a Road Trek 210, and it's a 2006, and they just broke a window. It's the awning window in the starboard side, starboard stern side. So it's the awning window, and I need to know, how do I get a piece of that glass, or do I have to buy a whole new window? Can you help me out here? And if you have any idea of who can fix it in the United States, please let me know. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Claire. Well, we've had that. We lost a window in the same exact spot one time. It actually kind of fell out, and we were able to replace it. Remember that? You actually, you put duct tape, and I don't know. You had this whole thing all fixed up.
I cut cardboard to fit there, and put plastic bags in between, and I had duct tape. I patched it up as best I could.
Well, you did a great job. And here's the bottom line for you that you should really help you, Claire. It's very easy to fix. It sounds to me like you just had glass damage. And if that's the case, any automotive glass place should be able to cut a piece of glass and put it in there for you. No problem at all. And if it is the frame, it's a little bit different, those are proprietary frames, but Road Trek has them and they can get them to your closest dealer. And let's see, you're in Colorado. So you'd want to go to Intermountain RV Sales. Intermountain's, I'll put a link to them in the show notes for you, but Intermountain is in Colorado Springs. And I'd call them up and tell them if you think that the frame is damaged, just say, hey, I got to get a new frame from Road Trek and would you put this in? And you might have to make an appointment for that. But it sounds like it is just the glass. And if it's just the glass, no problem. Anybody can replace that for you. And sorry that you had vandalism, and that's never fun, but it doesn't sound like it will be too big of an issue for you. So there
that's
you go.
That's so annoying.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, not good at all. All right. Well, hey, if you have a question, we would love to hear from it. Jen, thanks for helping me with the questions. And now that you got everything unpacked, it's time to pack up again. Let's get the road. Let's find out if you have to be on that jury.
Just wait until 5 o'clock.
All right. Call up and hopefully we'll, for those of you going to Hershey, hopefully you'll be able to meet Jennifer with me. Otherwise, it might be just me alone.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast has been Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, Van City RV only sells Class B RVs. These guys really know what they're talking about. They've been in business for 46 years. Nobody knows more about small motorhomes than Van City and the guys there. They have new and used Class B motorhomes in stock from the major manufacturers. When you fly in to buy your RV from Van City, they'll arrange to have you picked up from the airport. They'll reimburse you $500, up to $500 towards whatever you spend on your airfare. And then your RV will be fully prepared for you. They'll take you to Van City. You'll get a complete orientation, full tanks of fuel and propane, and then you get delivery and can set off for your life of adventure. Danny, the van man, has a special announcement for us about some new affiliations with Van City RV and two new Road Trek dealers that you want to know about. Here's Dan.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I'd like to announce this week the Van City of St. Louis is now affiliated with Wagon Trail RV of Las Vegas and Crescent RV of Collisville, Montana. All three dealerships providing the great Class Bs and B pluses and the great service throughout the Southwest, Northwest, and the Midwest. Hey, we're going to continue our great sales we had this weekend at our Fall RV Show till Friday. So if you're looking for a great deal, give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at VanCityRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com, and CrestonRV.com.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
Well, let's start off with one of our favorite destinations always, and that is national parks. I don't know if you have been to any national parks this year, but wow, have you noticed how crowded it is? Here it is. They still have another month and a half of peak tourist season, although it's starting to slow down now that school's back. But the Park Service has already announced that they have recorded 5 million more visitors from this time last year. And the result is traffic congestion that has really hit many of the parks. A lot of tourists, you know, they seem to just take the crowds in stride because they love these parks. But there has been lots of problems with parking. There have been lines trying to get in. Some of the national parks have had a shutdown over the holiday because so many people wanted to get in. Part of it is because the Park Service has been running this big Find Your Park campaign. They launched it to reintroduce people to the parks, and there are lots of anniversaries drawing crowds to war memorials in Washington, D.C., but big crowds at all the national parks. Grand Canyon, they've seen a 30% rise over last year through the month of August, although the exact numbers aren't known because they are still trying to gather data, but they say it's up 30% in the last year at the Grand Canyon National Park. And then, of course, other big parks are seeing double-digit Joshua Tree National Park, 30% increase in 2015 over the same time last year. More than 2.2 million people visited Zion from January to July of this year. That's a 16% increase. Let's see, Yellowstone, of course, everybody's bucket list. They went from 2.5 million to 2.9 million, a 14% increase. Yosemite from 2.1 million to 2.4. So huge, 5 million more people so far at national parks, and that's great. If you have not visited one, this is the best time because the crowds are always there, but they aren't nearly as bad now as they normally are. So that's story one. Another story, that and kind of a really sad story here, because it had to do with a big RV fire, and it stemmed from a space heater, and it's a reminder of how easy it is to have a fire break out. In this case, it was a space heater that somebody was using, and a blanket fell on top of that space heater. This happened out in Oregon, I believe it was, and it caused a pretty big fire. The folks weren't hurt or anything. There wasn't anybody really hurt, but it pretty much wrecked up the RV. So be careful of space heaters. A lot of them might actually be just these little ceramic heaters that people use when it's a little too cool and they need to warm it up. But those things can get really hot, so be careful. You have to really look. This was a pretty big fire. It really, really wrecked the RV, and fortunately, nobody was hurt. But once a fire starts in an RV, you want to make sure you can get out, and they move very, very fast. So just a warning, this is winter. It's starting to get cool as winter approaches. Fall can get pretty cool at night, and people like to bring those space heaters and ceramic heaters, so be careful of them. They can be very dangerous. And then the big story, of course, for those looking for an RV is America. This is the start of the RV show season. And the big one, America's largest RV show, started Monday of this week in Hershey, Pennsylvania with industry days. It runs through the weekend. Retail days start the day this podcast is being released, which is on Wednesday, September 16th. It ends up on Sunday. Sponsored by the Pennsylvania RV and Camping Association. They call it America's largest RV show because it is massive. 33 football fields. Picture that. 33 football fields of new RVs. Virtually every RV manufacturer and model is out there, from campers, pop-ups to motorhomes. There's educational seminars. There's vendor booths. Every major vendor of RV accessories, from campgrounds to folding boats, they're all there showing their stuff. So it is well worth the trip. Hershey, Pennsylvania. I hope that we will be there as well. As I said, it depends on whether Jennifer gets stuck in jury duty this week, but our plans are to be there and actually to try and do some special episodes from the podcast from there. So the Hershey, America's largest RV show, getting underway this week. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, the only name you need to know in heat when it comes to choosing a system to warm up your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System is what you want. It brings features and benefits that you simply cannot find with any other heating system. The Aldi Hydronic System is a silent, radiant heat. It provides a warm, you have to experience it, just a wonderful heat, a warm, even, natural heated interior. You're not going to get dry throat. It isn't that terrible dryness that you get from forced air and propane only systems. This is a hydronic system. You know, it works with water, and it just is radiant. It feels so good. Pets love it. You get a lot of other benefits from the Aldi system. You get increased interior space because in session, it's combining two systems in one, your hot water heater and your heating system. Very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. So it extends the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. There are some electric heating options, too, if you're plugged in. You have multiple amenities you can choose from. The one that Jennifer and I love is the heated floor. It is so nice on these cold fall mornings and these late nights when you get up in the middle of the night. You pat across the RV floor, and it's heated. It's warm. It feels so good. It's all run through a very programmable, really intuitive color screen, touch screen thermostat on the wall. And you'll love it. Besides all that, minimal sidewall penetration because of that small combined intake and exhaust. They eliminate those big cutouts and sidewall congestion you get on other RVs. You want to check it out. It's the Aldi, the only name you need to know when it comes to finding a heating system. ALDE.
Gadgets, gizmos, smartphones, personal tech. We cover it all. Time now for Mike's Thingamajig of the Week.
And our buddy Paul Ulrich from Verizon Wireless, the Uber user, has some gadgets for us to consider this week.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? It's Paul Ulrich here from Verizon, giving you a weekly update on certain things that we offer that I think might help out yourself or your listeners. Recently, I talked about the Canary, the GoPro. Today, I'm going to talk about cloud services. I want to make sure that all your listeners have at least the basics on their smartphone backed up to the cloud. Of course, when I say basics, I mean your contacts. That's the first thing that you should definitely have backed up to the cloud. The cloud means it's not that the information of the contacts on your phone are not just on your phone, they're backed up somewhere on a server up there in the internet. Somewhere else where if the unfortunate situation where your phone breaks or you completely lose it, you can get your contacts back if you have them backed up in the cloud. Once you get your new phone, you sign into whatever cloud service you're using, and boom, your contacts come right back. Of course, Verizon offers the cloud services. They give you 5 gigabytes for free. Your first 5 gig are free, so that will easily fit all your contacts. So if you ever lose your phone, get a new phone, you don't have to enter them in. You just press a couple buttons, and boom, all your contacts come right back. The next thing, the next step in cloud services is then, of course, your pictures. Now, I've got a wife, 3 kids, 2 dogs, so, of course, I take a lot of pictures on my phone. It's my main camera. So I also have my pictures backed up to the cloud. Sometimes, if you've got a lot like I do, you might have to then start kind of going to the next level of your cloud services where you need a little bit more space where you're paying. But that's okay because, for me, I think it's worth it because I know all my pictures that I take on my phone are protected. I can, at one touch of a button, I can get them all back anywhere I need them. So cloud services are something that's really important for your phone. I'll send you a link to the Verizon Cloud so you can post it so people can check it out, how much it costs if they need to get more, stuff like that. It's something that's really important, like I said, at a minimum, to at least make sure you have your contacts backed up so if you lose your phone, you don't have to sit there and try to figure out who you used to have in your phone as a contact. For the Road Trekking RV Podcast, I'm Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich reporting.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, 'tis the season for new iPhone devices. Did you see the big announcement from Apple last week? The new phones are now available for pre-order. And Verizon is offering the iPhone 6S and the iPhone 6S Plus, the most advanced new iPhones ever. Starting September 25th, they're already taking pre-orders. You can go to VerizonWireless.com and handle that. The iPhone 6S, iPhone 6S Plus, a powerful new dimension to iPhone's multi-touch interface. They have a new feature called 3D Touch, which senses how deeply you press the display. It has live photos, which kind of brings still images to life. The iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus are designed from the strongest glass on any smartphone. They come in gorgeous metallic finishes that now include rose gold. You can get a trade-in value of $100 for an iPhone 4 or a 4S, $200 if you have an iPhone 5 or 5C, $300 for an iPhone 5S, $350 for an iPhone 6, and $400 for an iPhone 6 Plus when you purchase a new iPhone 6S or iPhone 6S Plus. Your trade-in must be in good working condition. Trade-in value provided through a Verizon gift card. And that trade-in promotion is available only through October 15th. So why is Verizon the better choice when you purchase new iPhones? Because it's simple. They got this new device payment option. You choose the phone you want, you pay it off in 24 months, and then it is yours to own. That is a pretty cool detail to check out. For additional iPhone details, go to VerizonWireless.com/iPhone or visit roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, what I want to tell you about is, well, we actually started a podcast from there the other day, just a couple episodes back. We said that we were on the beach doing the podcast live. I think I posted a photo of Jennifer and I on the beach in Destin, Florida, and I said we would have a full review as a destination of the week. So we do now. It's the place was Camp Gulf. Now, you know, it is one thing to stay along the spectacular beaches of Florida's Panhandle and the Emerald Coast there. You know, the water is so clear and clean, and it's kind of turquoise shaded, just gorgeous. And there's a lot of really nice state parks up there. I've got a piece on the blog about state parks along there, but none of those parks are on the beach. So that is why we bit the bullet and we spent, are you ready for this? This was all pure research, folks. They didn't give us a free place at all. We had to pay over $200 a night to stay in one of the choice beach spots on Camp Gulf. Now, Camp Gulf is a very popular private campground in Destin, Florida. If you've been in that area, you've probably seen the signs. I think they do a lot of advertising too, you know, at billboards and stuff. And I know that is a ridiculous amount of money, $200 a night for a campsite. I mean, you can book a beachfront condo or a hotel room for the same price, maybe even less. But we did this. I wanted to see what it was like. It was on my bucket list to stay on the beach. So we spent four nights there, wheels on the white sugar sand, literally yards away from that crystal clear water. We spent two nights actually on one beachfront spot, and then we had to move because somebody had it reserved, and we moved down to another. They have 220 spots at Camp Gulf, but only 16 of them are right on the beach. Now, all of the spots at Camp Gulf, you can walk to the beach. They have beach access everywhere. But to stay on the beach, only 16 spots are on the beach. And those are the high price premium spots. And they're packed very close together. Our Class B Road Trek CS Adventurous XL was sandwiched in between a monster Class A skyscraper on one end and a huge fifth wheel on the other end the first couple of nights. And when we put out our awning, it was literally just a couple feet from touching the side of our neighbors. We got another spot at the very end of site 815 that was perfect for us because there was nothing to the east. A B couldn't get in, a Class A couldn't get in, a Class C couldn't get into spot 815, but a C did. And you'll see a photo of it if you go to, I'll link to it here in the show notes. Just go to roadtrekking.com/53 and scroll down to bucket list destination, and you'll see some photos from it and a link to the post we did. But we really did enjoy it. It's a really nice park. Now, is it worth $200 a night? No, probably not. I mean, I really did like it. It was great, but that's just too much to spend for a long period of time. That's not saying that a lot of people don't. We met a couple two sets of people down there who come every year for 10 days. I mean, you add that up and they do give you a break. I think they give you a free night with every 7 days rental. And you can check because different times of the year, the rates are different. But it's a beautiful park. Wonderful people. Very, very friendly people. We enjoyed everybody we met down there. And I did. I really did enjoy the time we spent down there. It was a really great time. But costly? Yes, it is costly. Camp Gulf, $200 a night. A little bit more with taxes to stay on the beach. But hey, I did it for you, readers. Yeah, there you go. You can go look at our pictures and see what you think. It's to splurge once, maybe. I don't know if I'd stay a whole long time. I would if it was cheaper. It's very hard to get in, by the way, to get into that park. It fills up a lot, but it's a very nice park. And what I would recommend, you can go back a few spaces where it's much more reasonable. They have some nice plat. They're all patios, and you can get a much more reasonable camping site. And then you can just walk. You know, it's a long hike for some of those sites, maybe almost just a quarter mile walk to the beach. But hey, it saves you $200. It's well worth it, don't you think? So anyway, check it out. Sponsoring this part of our podcast, The Bucket List Destination, is our friends at Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Winter Garden, Florida. That's not too far from Orlando. Leisure Time RV's been in business for 45 years and consistently ranked among the very top road trek dealers in North America. You need to visit them if you're shopping, or if you're not even in Florida, don't let that stop you. Call them up. These guys love to cut deals with you, and they'll work with you right on the phone. They have a full line of road trek inventory in stock, and they also sell travel trailers and some used RVs.
Road trekkers, this is Wendt with Leisure Time RVs in Winter Garden, Florida. We're working hard to make this one of our best Septembers ever. Make sure you call us at 1-800-336-6565 or email us at admin@leisuretimerv.com for a competitive price for your road trek. If you want to sell your road trek or any other RV, we are the right place to make that happen. We'll trade, consign, or buy your unit. We have customers waiting for good pre-owned units. Don't forget our excellent selection of new road treks on display at Leisure Time RV in Winter Garden, Florida. If you're looking for a Zion, call us at 1-800-336-6565 or email us at admin@leisuretimerv.com. We are ready to earn your business. Check out our website at leisuretimerv.com to see all of our inventory. We also have a 170 Versatile on display for that person look for the most compact road trek. Don't forget, your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Well, it's a time of year when everybody knows that summer, all good things have to come to an end, and then there's fall, and then there's winter. And that begins the annual migration of the snowbirds. Many people out there listening to this are thinking about getting away, being one of those migratory RVers who leave the cold and enjoy warm weather in their RVs. To help us understand what that's about, I'm going to introduce you to two now veteran snowbirds who are going to tell us what they learned in their first season of snowbirding. Welcome Tim and Carol Mallon to the program from Canada, and you can pronounce the name of your town for me.
Well, it's Penetanguishene, Ontario, on the shores of Georgian Bay, Ontario.
You ready for this? Penetanguishene. I thought I had it that time. This has been a long-standing joke of ours for how many years. I'm the radio guy, and I could not pronounce Penetanguishene.
That's good.
I think I got it. Close enough. Penetanguishene, which is absolutely a beautiful area. So you don't have to leave in the summertime.
No, we would be silly to, because we're only 10 minutes away from the beach, and it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous there.
Now, you both recently retired last year in 2014, and you immediately jumped in to snowbirding. And this is something that I think so many people dream and think about their whole life. Tell us some of the lessons that you learned, how you did it, and you also kept track of it. And we'll also put a link to your blog where you actually recount how much money you spent as well. But tell us what you learned. Tim Mallon.
Well, of course, you know, the first thing is planning. And as Canadians and Ontarians, we have 182 days that we can go to the States with. And we want to maximize every one of those in warm locations.
Now, explain that to our listeners. Because of travel regulations and passport control, you have only so much time you can spend there.
Yes, and it depends by province, but it is close to 180 days per province. And it doesn't matter if you use all 180 in a row or you split that up. So a lot of Canadian snowbirds use it all in one chunk and leave in October and come back in late April. But they tend to stay in one place at a time and perhaps have bigger rigs, like A-class rigs, and stay at an RV park. We had that choice to leave in October or to leave in the second wave of migration, and that would be right after Christmas. Our boys still like Christmas, even though they're in their late 20s, so we chose to leave right after Christmas, and we were away last winter for 101 days from January 1st to April 10th.
Carol, where did that take you?
Just about everywhere. We started in Florida, and we just kept going all the way over till Yuma.
to Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona, yes.
Did you have any trepidation about this whole thing before you started?
Oh, yeah. We weren't sure how much it was going to be to stay at some places in Florida. We looked at boondocking, and we found that some of the places were way better than we thought, so we would stay our maximum allowance and not pay anything while we boondocked.
Now, this implies to me, you say an allowance, that you actually thought this through and you set a budget?
Well, the only aspect of the budget we could be sure of is how much money we had coming in. And being a retired educator, I had a pension check coming in at the end of the month. What was unsettling is to know what would the cost be. Not only the cost of American costs, but then add the value of the Canadian dollar. And last winter, it was about 20% difference, not in our favor. Now it's 30%. So we had to consider that for everything that we did, that difference in the dollar. And we'd heard that Florida was a very expensive part of the country, and that turned out to be the most expensive state that we had gone to.
Now, this is applicable, of course, to everybody, whether they're in the States or whether you're a Canadian coming down to the warm weather. The added factor for you guys is the currency exchange. And right now, in the summer of 2015, when we record that, that's hitting you pretty hard, right?
Right now, it's 30%, and that's going to change the way we will probably snowbird next year. But last year, we did Florida first because we wanted to tie it into a Road Trek International rally, which would have been our first. And I think that's really important. If you're going to be on the road for 3.5 months, like we were, you want to break it up with some get-togethers, whether it's meeting old friends, and you know, you have highlights along the way that you want to make sure you hit.
So some advice for people based on your first season of it, as they think about going. Obviously, the first thing I think would be financial, to know what's coming in, what's going out. But Carol, what are the lessons that you learned from your first season?
That food is way I thought it would be cheaper than in Canada, but certain fruits and vegetables were the same, but milk and cheese were less, way less than in Canada. So it was like, oh, well, we'll just try and eat local and fresh and cut down somewhere else.
So what about the mix between eating out and cooking in?
And that is certainly one way you can either spend far more than you anticipate, or you can save far more than you know. So we rarely ate out. Not that we wouldn't have liked to, but one, you can't control the type of food you're eating per se. You don't really sure how much calories in there, the quality of the food. So we rarely ate out, and that was a huge saving in that part of the budget.
Now, Carol, in terms of, did you do most of the meal preparation, Carol?
Yes, Tim drove and I cooked.
Now, what are the challenges that you faced on that? It's a little harder in a small home, a small motor home.
Yes, with two propane burners and then you've got the microwave. So sometimes you got like three things you're going to microwave. So you just kind of try and keep the first one good and warm and just keep going and then just make it simple.
So your advice in terms of keeping costs down is to eat in, obviously, for a number of benefits.
Right. Now, it was funny because for us, a big deal and a bit of a treat would it to be to stop at a Walmart once a week, not just for the boondocking opportunity as you're on your way to somewhere else, was a chance to refresh the groceries and fill up the fridge again. But we would buy one of those chickens and a salad, and
the
boom.
Rotisserie chickens that they cook?
Exactly. Instant dinner, and then we treat ourselves to a movie. So as I kidded Carol, here we go. It's going to be a movie and dinner tonight, dear. And it'd be a $1.50 Redbox movie.
And the reason we're talking about Walmart is because Walmart, in many places, allow you to stay free overnight in their campgrounds. Not every place. Some communities don't allow it. But Walmart, by policy, welcomes RVers because, like you say, you buy groceries there.
Right. Now, unfortunately, a number of Walmarts in heavy areas, urban areas, are putting up no camping signs. However, we found that if we went in and spoke either personally or actually from the parking lot via a phone with a manager, explain the type of rig we are in. In our case, an 06 Adventurous, 22 feet long, that we're not really camping. It's just a stop overnight, and we plan to buy $100 or more of groceries. They were more than willing, despite the signs, to let us park there overnight.
That's good advice for everybody to know on it. So now that you have gone through that, how did your costs work out? Were you over budget, under budget? How did this work out?
Well, again, we found accommodation, again, is another area that could cost you a lot, even when you're staying at a campground. So we found in Florida, the area that had the potential to be the highest accommodation cost, and it was to check out the wildlife management areas. And there's a number of them divided geographically. And those are free. You'll find them online. And you'd be surprised at the campgrounds that they have. They're beautiful. They had composting toilets, very clean. They had showers, although outdoor, but when it's, you know, 80 degrees out, there's nothing wrong with a cool shower. You could stay 14 days maximum. So we actually boondocked out of the 30 days in Florida. We boondocked 20 nights and saved that way.
What's a typical night cost as you watch it like that?
Well, over the 101 days, we spent about $10 a night.
$10 a night. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Now, you did 101 days on the road, and you carefully watched your finances. You're going back now this year. Carol, what's the first thing? Is there anything you're going to do different this year than last?
Yes, we're not traveling 10,000 miles for the 4 months, 3.5 months. We're going to actually plant ourselves in one spot because they got a fabulous golf course there, and we can play unlimited golf as well.
Where's that?
It is very close to Padre Island in Texas.
So the southern Texas?
Southern Texas. Now, again, we're not into the parking lot type of RV park with, you know, 500 spaces, but I did find in Mercedes, Texas, right down at the bottom of Texas there, a small 90-spot park that has grass between the sites. They have a small par 3 golf course on there. And again, it's about getting into a routine. You're not always traveling. So when you stop, what do you do? And you want to do things in common. So we travel with a dog. So part of our routine was after breakfast, always to go for a big hike with the dog before it got too hot. And in the afternoon, if it was still good weather, we would go for a second walk. But I'm a big golfer. So we did discover this little park has a nice par 3 course, and Carol is going to take up golf so that she can participate in that aspect as well.
This is another cool thing about being retired, is you can both kind of adjust your schedule, do more things together.
Definitely.
Now in you chose Texas, and it sounds like that first season, and this may be advice for other people, is sort of an exploratory season.
That was exactly the purpose. We had one or two sites per state that we wanted to see. I recommend highly that you buy, as Canadians, buy the National Park Pass for that exploratory kind of a journey. And we hit national parks. We hit COE parks. We hit private campgrounds. We boondocked a lot. We also stayed for a week at a time at a few RV parks to check them out for potential long-term stays. And we did find that South Texas, and I mean right down by the border there, had the most reliable weather. When we were in Florida, we had to be really far south because northern Florida was hit with cold weather. We saw even along the Gulf Coast as you went through Louisiana, etc., they were hit with some bad weather. We were able to stay ahead of the bad weather. And when you get way out to Yuma and that way, it can be too hot. So that bad weather could be too hot. So we're going to stay in the South Texas for the first 3 months and then take a month to travel home in April.
And then I would imagine that you'll use that as a headquarters for day trips, maybe a couple of overnight trips?
Yes, definitely. We hear Padre Island is great, and we might find out that people we know with other road treks are nearby, and we'll just go visit for a couple of days and then go back.
Well, the Mallins kept a blog and a record, a diary of their entire season last year, snowbirding, and we will put a link on it. Tim did some great photography on it, and he outlines the cost of it every month, and you can follow along the things. Your final advice for people who have debated whether they should do it, should they do it?
Definitely. You can control the costs. And as I say, accommodation, boondock as much as you can. With the apps we have today, there's no reason you cannot find these places. And even it's fun when you just find them by accident. In terms of food, do not eat out a lot. Huge way to save money. We didn't buy any souvenirs. I mean, there's nowhere to put it in the road trek, to be honest with you. And we didn't pay a lot for entrance fees, because a lot of the wonderful entrance fees in the States and the national monuments are free. So there are things you can do without spending a lot of money. So,
snowbird advice from Carol and Tim Mallett. Thank you guys for sharing your adventure with us.
Thank you, Mike.
Anytime.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, so ends another episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of this podcast, I would love it if you would go to the blog, roadtrekking.com, click the little black banner on the right-hand side of your screen where it says leave voicemail, just click that, and then use the microphone on your computer or your smartphone and just ask a question or give us a comment. It really is great to hear your voices and to make you a part of the Road Trekking Podcast. We release a new episode every single Wednesday. So if you want to know when they're out, all you have to do is subscribe. Go to iTunes and subscribe to Road Trekking, the RV Podcast. And it'll be automatically in your podcast app on your smartphone or your tablet device. We also would love it if you would follow us on Facebook. We have a very active group. I mean, we are 24/7, and you just need to go to facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking, and you can join that group and be part of almost 6,000 people who are constantly sharing advice and helping each other out and offering tips and suggestions. Really a lot of fun there. And don't forget, of course, our blog, new content up every day as we post how-to tips, videos, stories about where to go, interesting people and interesting places from our network of road trekking reporters. That's at roadtrekking.com. Please subscribe to the podcast, like I say, and would you also do us a big favor and leave a review? Those 5-star reviews really help us get noticed in the very crowded travel category of podcasts. And I need you to help us with those reviews. Thank you so much. We read every one of them, Jennifer and I do, and we really appreciate your time. Hey, thank you so much for being a part of the program this year and this whole week. I say this year because, as I announced a couple weeks ago, we have hit 1 million downloads in less than a year, which is just amazing for this podcast. We hope to see many of you at Hershey, Pennsylvania at the RV show there, and we'll be at other shows throughout the year as well. Don't forget, you can reach me anytime online. Just go to roadtrekking.com and there's a contact link there, and you can send me an email and get in touch with us as well. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, for putting me in your ear. We'll see you next week.